The good.
The good.
The bad.
The bad.
And
the ugly.
The ugly.
Ugly.
With Terence Pillay.
Good morning, Terence.
Good morning, Mrs. O. It's so nice to have you so early this morning.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
And bushy-tailed.
What's on the menu?
I tell you what, it's quite a disturbing one. You know, a few weeks ago, I sat down to watch Leaving Neverland, this documentary film that alleges that the late, great Michael Jackson was a child abuser. So the film recounts the stories of two men who claim that Jackson sexually abused them when they were still children, now adults with children of their own. They felt the need to come clean to British producer and director Dan Reed. So since the film emerged, audiences have been completely polarized by its content. Diehard fans are adamant that their musical hero could never have done the heinous things that these men claim he had done to them. And the other half of the audience say that the child abuse allegations have dogged the singer since the 80s and believe the men's side of things. In fact, they reference a number of out-of-court settlements with families of young boys who made similar claims and who signed a non-disclosure agreement with the singer. I was personally quite disturbed by the film. You know, I didn't care much for Michael Jackson, but he's a musical genius. But even if there was a modicum of truth to the allegations, the bigger picture was that abuse was happening right under the parents' noses and nobody knew what was going on or chose to turn a blind eye. So for those who haven't seen the film yet, like I said, Leaving Neverland is a documentary. It focuses on two men, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who allege they were sexually abused as children by the singer. It also examines the effects on their families, and the documentary resulted in a backlash against Jackson and a reassessment of his legacy. But the fact of the matter was, Carol, it all started in 1993 when Jackson was accused of sexually molesting 13-year-old Jordan Chandler. Jackson denied the claims and settled a civil case out of court for a payment of $15 million plus legal fees. And the settlement then also included a non-disclosure agreement. No criminal charges were filed. Then in 2005, following further allegations prompted by the 2003 documentary Living with Michael Jackson, in which he was holding hands with a boy named Gavin Arvizo and talked about his sleepovers with children, Jackson was again acquitted of child sexual abuse charges. Then in 2013, choreographer Robson filed a civil lawsuit alleging the singer had sexually abused him for 7 years, beginning when he was 7 years old. In 2014, a case was then filed by James Safechuck after seeing an interview with Robson alleging sexual abuse. And he says he was abused over a four-year period from the age of 10. Both had previously testified in defense of Jackson. The thing about this film, which I don't know if you've seen it or not, is
I have, and I have a very strong opinion on it, so I'm just letting you.
So for me, the thing about this film is that the filmmaker only interviews Robson and Safechuck and their families and doesn't tell Jackson's side of the story through his family, friends or employees, and doesn't give them a right to reply. Many have criticized the film for being one-sided, and the participants even received death threats from diehard Jackson fans before its premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in January this year. And Dan Reed has responded to this criticism by describing his film as a study of the psychology of child sexual abuse told through two ordinary families who are groomed for 20 years by a pedophile masquerading as a trusted friend. So coming up, I'm going to break it up a little more for you, but in the meantime,
have you seen the recent reports that have come out with regards to these two? Well, first of all, Wade Robson and Safechuck are best friends.
Yes.
Firstly. Secondly, they are the only two who have been pulled together for this documentary.
Yeah.
You do know that they also did file a lawsuit which could have seen them banking millions.
Yes.
Should this have gone their way. On top of that, recently it's come out as well that Safechuck has mentioned a particular train station where some alleged abuse happened.
Yes.
It turns out that that train station wasn't even built at the time that he said this abuse happened,
so that
which was like
Mike,
a three-year gap.
That was Mike Smallcombe. He was a British journalist and the author of Making Michael. And he's now come forward and says that he has proof that the men are lying about some of the locations, like that train station, which was only, the plans were only passed in 1993, but the Safechuck alleges that the abuse occurred 2 years earlier.
3 years earlier, yeah.
But Dan Reed has responded saying that the men probably got their timelines wrong because they were remembering these incidents when they were still children. But coming up, we're going to talk about the, Oprah weighing in on this entire matter as well.
Yeah. So for me, I just feel that, you know, these guys have come out at a very interesting time. The financial implications for them are also very, very interesting. Mm. And I feel at the end of the day, you know, as an individual, you need to make your mind up about how you feel. We look at someone like, for example, R. Kelly, who's been accused of his own things, where 50 different women have come on record and accused him of the same things. And, you know, it's really hard to see anything else when 50 people come forward.
Yeah.
But you have the types of like Tyler Henry, who says, I don't know what you people are talking about. This, I was a child who hung out with Michael Jackson. None of that happened to me. Yes. Macaulay Culkin, and the list can go on.
Yeah.
So I think we mustn't forget the other children who have come forward and said, this cannot be true.
100%.
So at the end of the day, you need to make up your own mind on how you feel.
Yeah, coming up, we'll talk a little more about that.
East Coast Radio.
It is the East Coast Radio, and we're still with Terrence talking about the Michael Jackson documentary. Terrence.
Carol, I think, you know, the response from Jackson's family on this entire thing was that he was never convicted in a court of law. But is it not the same criminal justice system that didn't convict O.J. Simpson or only recently filed charges against singer R. Kelly after the crime and investigation series surviving R. Kelly emerged? But these abuse claims were known to the police and the public for more than two decades. For me, the interesting thing came in all of this came was Oprah Winfrey. And she did a special on the issue called After Neverland. In it, Winfrey interviewed Robson and Safechuck, as well as the film's director, in front of an audience of 100 survivors of child sex abuse. She listened to their stories, asked the tough questions everyone was asking, and she also canvassed comments from the audience themselves. But what struck me as my very own aha moment, if you will, was the fact that when we think of child abuse and child molestation, we all think of it as a brutal attack, a violent crime against a child that involves an assault or an extremely physical attack, when in fact, cases of child abuse involves a child being taken advantage of and manipulated by someone he or she trusts, almost always. The abuser will first groom that child, offer him or her things like toys, sweets, the promise of holidays away, and so on, in an effort to get the child to trust and accept him as someone he or she could be safe around. Then, in the case of Michael, in the Michael Jackson saga, the men say that the singer groomed their entire families over a period of 20 years. He offered them everything from trips overseas to time away at luxury hotels or his famous Neverland Ranch. He would show up at their houses and live with them for periods of time. He inserted himself into their lives and they trusted him implicitly. So the men say that he was so in love with them that they didn't register the alleged inappropriate sexual behavior when they shared a bed with him. And they didn't register it as abuse. And both men say they only got their moments of clarity when they had their own children and thought about how they would feel if something like that were to happen to their kids. But, you know, at the end of the day, the audience is still polarized on this. I went into the documentary with an open mind because I mean, like I said, I didn't think much of Michael Jackson, but I did love his music. So when I watched the documentary, there were a lot of questions that came into my mind as well. So who knows? What do we believe?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the audience will have to decide for themselves how they feel about this. As you know, it's just allegations that are there, but what's important for people to remember that there are children out there that are going through this right now in this very province, and we need to be sensitive to that. Remember that if you are listening and you're a child and you are listening and going through something like this, remember to try and speak to somebody you trust and get help in that way.
Yeah,
a very, very sensitive topic. And like I said, for all the children that are going through this, you know, I don't even have the words for it. So thank you, Terrence, for your time. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Carol. I think you hit the nail on the head there that you have to tell someone. Tell a teacher, an uncle, and an aunt, a friend, but you have to tell somebody.
All right. Thank you so much, Terrence.
Thanks, Mrs. O. Take care.